Brother Laren asked me last Sunday if I was preaching anywhere this week, and I told him I didn't have an appointment this week, but I'd have to go next week to Dixon Springs, and he asked me would I do this, and you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I wanted to try to find a way out of it, try to fight it for, you know, and actually Sunday I had about 10 different things that I was going to tell him, you know, that reasons why I couldn't do it. You know, and I even got on the internet hoping that I'd find maybe a church without somebody to preach the next Sunday so I could maybe get an appointment to go. I mean, that's embarrassing to say, but I'm serious about it. Really tried to find somewhere to go preach so I didn't have to do this. But Lord wouldn't let me get away from it. I'm going to try to slow down, first off. Anybody that's heard me preach knows that I have trouble slowing down. I mean, it's one thing that you can say if you've ever heard me try to stand, that the first thing you can say is I'm not very good at it, and we know that. And the second thing is I'm not very long-winded, so we'll try our best to slow down, and maybe somebody will get something out of it, but we knew that we'd at least have to try. That's why I told Brother Laren, Sunday I was all set on not even trying. Wasn't going to do it. I found every way in the world that I just wasn't qualified enough to be able to stand in front of you guys. And I'm not. We know who we are this morning. Brother Jeff preached a message, I don't know, about 2 months ago, I guess, on the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus, where Moses, he come up with every excuse in the world not to follow the Lord and go talk to the Pharaoh and different things of that nature. And you know, I'd come up, I'm not Moses, but I seriously have tried every excuse in the world to get out of this week. Anyway, me and Brother Laren talked a little bit, and I was going to, he told me I could continue in James if I wanted to, but I didn't feel like that was the proper way to go about it. I feel like, you know, Brother Laren's got a better hold on that type of stuff. The Lord did give me a thought to try to give it all we got. And that's all we can do is put forth an effort. You know, we may make a mess. I'm confident that we will make a mess, but hopefully, you know, somebody will get something out of it. And, you know, if you're here and, you know, you got something to say, chime in anytime you want. It'll help me out a lot. But our thought today, I guess you could say, well, we're going to probably read from several different places, but our thought is kind of fear not would be the thought that we have. We live in a world today where you look around and it does seem like everybody's scared of everything. And I don't want this to get took the wrong way. I'm not saying that, you know, we should go around petting snakes or, you know, go around not worried about the virus. You know, all that stuff, you know, has to be at your own conviction. When it comes to that, but biblically speaking, we're taught to fear not. Yeah. You go throughout the Bible, in different various places, the Old Testament, the New Testament. We're going to read just a little bit of it here in a bit, where we got our thought. But, you know, usually right before the battle or even in the midst of the battle, God tells certain people to fear not. And sometimes when God comes to people and let them know something, he tells them to fear not. And I'm not to say, you know, the fear of God isn't something that we should take serious, because I believe it can keep us from sinning, but the fear of man can cause us to sin. So we're gonna start off in the book of Luke, Gospel according to Luke. I like reading Luke, the New Testament. You know, a lot of it, it feels like Paul's involved in a lot of it, and you know, he is, as far as writing letters to the churches and different things. But, I mean, from a word standpoint, Luke probably wrote more of the New Testament than Paul. The book of Acts and the book of Luke. Really, really like reading it. But we'll start where we kind of got our thought at. But Luke, be mindful of this. We'll try to slow down. We'll try not to take anything out of context. But Luke, maybe if you're going through anything in life, maybe it'll be a help to you, something that you may be scared of. But we sometimes when we go to preach or other preacher's going to preach. They'll read these scriptures, you know, to do with the lost and different things. And we should. I believe we can take it and use it as well. Luke, the 12th chapter and the verse 4. Jesus talking to the disciples. And he said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not of one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. Jesus giving some great advice, you know, to his disciples there. If you're going through anything, or maybe just scared of something, you know, that's a great point to bring out. I'm not trying to preach it right now or anything, but it says, you're of more value than many sparrows. We'll flip over, and I kind of want to go back and catch a little something. We may go to the first chapter, Luke, but we'll go to 29 first off. And this has got to do with worry or being fearful. And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. It's 29 verse. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father there knoweth that ye need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. You know, looking at them scriptures, we sometimes I think we get caught up a little bit too much in things of the world that we really have no business being afraid of, because we know who's in control of all. You know, whether it be the president or the virus or different things of that nature. Jesus gives a prime example or example there to fear not. Any thoughts or comments on any of that? If not, I'm gonna go to the first chapter of the book of Luke, and things are really starting to unfold. Here, but I'll try to slow down and maybe dig a little deeper into some of the things that we read. First chapter of the book of Luke, it's going to get into John the Baptist being born and Jesus being born and different things, and how it gives 2 accounts in this book where that angel appeared to Zacharias, which is John's father. And I believe it's about the 14th verse. We'll read it all, but in the 30th verse, I believe it, the same angel goes to Mary, which would be the virgin Jesus' mom. But when we look at these 2 accounts, I want us to take notice as to what happened when the Lord had come, when God had come to them and let them know what was happening. The first thing they got was scared. We'll read it and we'll kind of try to dig a little deeper into it. We'll start at the 5th verse, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 1. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. That word barren, that means unproductive, not able to produce, I guess you could say. I don't have a definition, but that's kind of what it means there. So she's unable to have a child, and they were both well stricken in years. That word stricken, you know, we know means wore out or kind of older, I guess you could use. And it came to pass, and while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of the course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without a time of incense, at the time of incense. And here's kind of where the Lord appeared to Zacharias to kind of let him know something. And we'll kind of stop when we get there, and you can look at what had happened. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear. Listen to this part. When he saw the angel, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. You know, a lot of times we'll think of angels as this great thing. But, you know, in these three accounts that we're about to read, every time that the Lord came to let them know something through that angel, fear fell upon them. And kind of like, you know, when the Lord lets us know something, the first thing we do, you know, is to get scared. You know, me, that's kind of what the thought come from when Brother Laren asked me to give it a shot, and fear fell upon me from the start. Stomach kind of got tore up anyway. Well, and the angel said unto him, listen to what God directed the angel to say, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and they shall call his name John." Fear not, what the angel said unto him. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." So there's one, you know, Zacharias and Elizabeth. We'll jump back just a little bit. It says they was... And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. So these people, you know, had a good relationship with the Lord, and still when the Lord had showed up through an angel to let them know good news, Zacharias was scared. You know, and kind of the same direction that we are today, you know, biblically, you know, we should not be scared of everything because we know who our helper is. But we'll keep reading. Any thoughts on any of that? I know these, we say all the time, these are really familiar scriptures. And to some people, they may be really familiar scriptures. But I've heard preachers say that in the last year about scriptures that I hadn't really looked into that much. So, maybe something to learn. You know, a lot of people don't know that Zacharias and Elizabeth was John's mama, and Elizabeth being Mary's cousin. But we'll get on down into this. Anytime you guys got any thoughts or comments or questions, I'll say questions, but I'm not, you know, we'll try to get you an answer, but we'll do the absolute best we can when it comes to it. That's the way we should be. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, talking about John the Baptist, and shall drink neither wine nor drink nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, and stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and shew thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in the season. And the people waited for Zacharias, marveled at that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto him, unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he had beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed unto his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in these days, wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin exposed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And this is kind of the second account. When we look at this, you know, the angel, we'll read the verse, then we'll kind of go from there. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. So here we are again. She was troubled when she'd seen the angel of the Lord. It says Gabriel here, and the 14th verse it says Gabriel as well. 3 accounts where I can find in the Bible when the angel of Gabriel. The other account, I believe it's probably the book of Daniel, probably the 8 and 17, where the angel of Gabriel come. But listen to what it says. And when she saw him, she was in trouble. She was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of solution this should be. And listen to the first thing that the angel said. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Another account to where the angel of the Lord came and said, Fear not. Pretty big accounts, too, when you look back at the Bible, the birth of John the Baptist and the conception, I guess you could say, the birth of John, which was his birth came in a natural way. Jesus is, of course, not the perfect sacrifice. You know, everything had to be pure for the perfect sacrifice. You know, it says she was a virgin at the time, and I can't find an account in the scriptures where it says anything about Elizabeth being troubled or the angel coming to Elizabeth. But if you bounce back to the book of Matthews and four people, the book of Matthew or first chapter of the book of Matthews, we'll bounce back. Before I do that, y'all have any thoughts or comments or anything on that? If not, we'll bounce back to Joseph in the book of Matthews. A lot going on in this time frame, as you could guess. I mean, everything really starting to unfold. A lot of people scared at first, you know, when things were being revealed, and the birth of John the Baptist and his parents. John, you can look at John throughout the Bible, and one of my favorite things about John, there was no sugarcoating about anything. John was strictly business when it come to the Lord. I mean, that's what he was, and you know, it got him killed. We'll start at chapter number 1, verse number 18. This when the angel appears here, I don't see where it says Gabriel. If you guys see anything else, let me know. But it says, but now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when his mother, Mary, was exposed to Joseph before they came together. She was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while, listen to this part, but while he thought on this thing, on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Pretty interesting stuff, you know. When all that was beginning to unfold, they was definitely, I mean, you'd have to be troubled at what was going on with John and different things of that nature. But even when the Lord reveals something to us, you know, we should always fear not. You know, that's the first thing that enters my mind when the Lord lays something on my heart, or I've got to go preach or different places. Usually fear starts to creep in, and the thing about it is when you're fearing, especially things of the world, we're losing focus. Fear will cause you to lose focus on what's truly at hand, and it'll cause you not to trust. They say the antidote to fear is trust. Brother Heath brought a great message about trust here during revival. Here a while back. Any thoughts or comments on any of that?
It's just so hard to get through and figure out.
Yeah.
I don't know about for everybody else, but for me, it really is. So many times the Lord's laid on my heart. There's sometimes he lays something on my heart to preach here. And I think, you know, I'll start going through my mind. I'm pretty sure so-and-so is guilty of that, or so-and-so is guilty of that. Lord, if I preach on that, you know, they really ain't going to like it, and they're going to get upset, they're going to be mad, and then that, and sometimes they do.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, if we get where we don't fear, and not do it as a jerk, just do it because he's laid it on your heart to do it, and do it with humility and love, they might get upset for a little while, but they'll always get over it and end up being a help to them, and he'll help you get through it. He'll never lead you into nothing that he won't have to get through. But there's a whole lot going on. Like you said, a lot going on there. Mary is, you know, she's coming up pregnant. She ain't even been with a man.
Yeah.
She's afraid. And then Joseph, I'll just be honest with you. Everybody talks about Mary and the Catholics, you know, Hail Mary and all this. I hail Joseph. I mean, you're talking about having you know, when me and Sheila was dating, if she'd come up pregnant, and, they was spouse. They was born engaged, I think. They done committed one to each other, but they still hadn't come together in marriage.
Right.
But if she come up pregnant, and I'll just be honest with you, that'd take a whole lot. You're talking about
yeah.
Lord, when the angel come and said, this is all right, don't worry about it, it's okay, I've got this, this is the Holy Ghost, I'd be just like, me and her would probably be doing a lot of talking. And so, you know, it's a lot, like you said, a lot going on there. And, but it's hard. I mean, it's hard to put away that fear. It really is for all of us. But, you know, if we'll really trust in the Lord and have that faith of the grain of mustard seed, and he can take care of it.
Amen.
But we can't do it. I knew you was going to be nervous, but you're doing a good job. I know you can't do it, but if we'll just make, I've said this for a while now, if you'll make an effort,
yep.
He'll bless it.
Amen.
Even when sometimes we feel like we failed completely, He'll take our failures and still use it. That just amazes me how God can do that. But I think if we ever thought we'd done a good job, we'd get thinking we'd done it instead of God done it.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why we always feel, everybody says, you're way too hard on yourself. If a person thinks they've done good, I hate to hear anymore the preacher say, I done really good. I mean, I just seem to say I fell flat on my face, it was awful. But when they tell me they've done really good, I'm just like, I wish I could say that one time, and I've never been able to say that. I've never left here or nowhere else from the pulpit and said I've done really good, because I never felt like I did. I felt better about it sometimes. I felt like maybe I got myself in shape where I could serve the Lord and let Him use me.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you know when that happens, brother? Is when I'm so afraid. When I fear Him so much that
amen.
I don't have no confidence, I get up there and I'm scared to death. And then I have to trust Him to take care of it. And that's where they was.
Yep.
They had to trust that He was going to take care of it. Because who could go through all these things you're talking about and be able to do it on their own? So, fear the Lord.
Yep.
Fear Him, and that's what you read to start with. We don't need to fear man, but we need to fear the Lord. And when it comes to handling His word, I mean, it's a fearful thing. It really is.
Amen.
If we look at the time frame of Joseph and Mary, it's not like it is today where now we kind of think, she's got pregnant. That was not how it was then.
That
wasn't that way. So, you've got fear, but I believe, and all I can ever speak of is myself. If I went into something and I didn't have fear in it, then prideful me, it done took over, and it ain't worth, it ain't gonna be worth the hill of beans because I know, I've told y'all, I prayed for a long time that I'd have a photographic memory of the Bible. That's all I ever wanted, didn't care about nothing else, I never did get it. And God come to me finally one day and said, you'd be too arrogant. And I didn't pray for it no more. I understood then exactly, plain that you'd be too arrogant. And I believe without fear, I just don't think that I could get to where I needed to be at and work the way I needed to without some type of that fear being there. I don't think I could, having a fear of things. We understand if we put our trust in God that everything is always took care of. It may not exactly come out how we had played it out or whatever, but it worked and it was done right. But, that fear there, that to me that, I don't, us as God, us as flesh, I don't see how that I could get out with some, without some type of small, because I know who I am today,
right.
And what I'm made of. And I don't think I'll ever get out of, there's going to be some type of fear, especially when you're handling God's word. This is very important.
Amen.
I would never want to say something that would, maybe cause somebody to lean a different direction on something, and you've got a fear, there's going to be times God's going to give us stuff to preach. I'm going to tell you, people ain't going to like it.
Yep.
That's just the bottom line. And there's things that gets preached to me, it hurts, but I'm thankful for it. Not everybody's going to be that way, and I may not always be that way. And we've got that fear. I know, especially if we know some about some of the people, then we've having to preach in that direction, in that way. And it is. But without that, I know, I don't think I could do God's work without that fear because then it might be more leaning on my own understanding
yep.
and then what God's understanding of it would be. And a lot of times that's what keeps me in line and in the direction to want to dig and be in prayer and be connected to God, you know, the same way as you've got Jesus and John there, they was connected from the beginning. There's a connection between them from the very beginning of that, you know, and ain't no doubt in my mind, but one was born of woman, one was not.
Yep.
You know, one still had to be saved the same way we did, and one was the same, you know, but there was a connection there from the beginning, and, you know, I'm like anybody else. Anytime I've got I'll be honest, I fear more of talking to lost sinners than I believe doing going to preach.
Yeah.
And I've heard Brother Jesse, I fear that as much as, it's probably as anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's a vital time.
Amen.
And I don't never want to say, you know, but I struggle with a lot of things. I struggle with just being me sometimes, you know, just trying to be who, you know, and that fear, you know, but fear, you know, there's, you know, a lot of times the fear that it's not needed fear, you know,
right.
Some of these things, you know, it's a not needed fear, you know, like, you know, my back issues and the job issue that I had not too long ago, and I was fearful over something that didn't need to be fearful of. All
Amen.
I had to do was just depend on the Lord like he done told me and go on with it. But
yep.
Then I've got to be Michael and wind up in that fleshly part of me instead of being in a spiritual spot. I mean, I understand I can't. I wish I could stay there all the time, but I don't. And it's very, you know, it's very few times if I'll just tell you the complete truth about it. And but that fear, you know, that reverence of that fear, you know, you find it quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know? And we're talking about people that was, you know, and no doubt my mind was godly people because that's what the scriptures told us. But just still, when it come to them, they was fearful.
Right.
You know, I can just imagine if something like that to come up to me, I'd probably just run straight out the door, you know. It's the knowledge of, you know, the fear of what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord.
Amen.
And then fear of other stuff that I shouldn't have, because God's going to take care of it.
Amen.
And you know what? But I do. I fear the Lord. I've been entrusted with some of God's work. Now, all I am is a tool there, a mouthpiece of that, but I've been entrusted through God with that. And that's fearful.
Yeah.
To say I want to do what I'm supposed to do in all directions, that's a good point to bring up, you know.
Amen.
You look at it and you see what. No doubt my mind, there's a whole lot closer to lower than what I am. There ain't no doubt in my mind. At this given time, they was a lot closer to the Lord than what I'd say probably any of us is, man.
That's true.
And because of time and where they was at, they had to depend on the Lord. I mean, you think 100 years ago, when they went to praying, they didn't pray for McDonald's. They prayed for rain for their crops to come in. They had to do a whole lot of praying, so that means it's more likely, and they don't doubt, they're a lot closer than what we are.
No, absolutely.
And the reason why I ain't today, and it's my fault.
That's
the truth, but it's a good subject, good subject.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of point we want to bring out. The things of God we should fear. And, you know, Proverbs and Psalms, and you can look through them and you'll find it numerous times where, you know, I believe in Psalms 118. I ain't going to read it. We're running out of time. But I think in the 118th division of Psalms, you know, it says that God finds pleasure in those that fear him, you know, and we should be that way. But one more thing I do want to bring up before I leave, before we dismiss or whatever. 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm not going to go over and read it, but... Jesus was out on the water. His disciples were scared, thought he was a ghost. And I don't think it says ghost, but it might. But anyway, he's walking out on the water, and Peter saw him, and I believe Peter got excited. And there was a time and place when Peter was locked in on Jesus that the rest of the world was kind of went away to him. And it even says that Peter walked on water. We talk about Jesus walking on water, but Peter walked on water. And I believe if he would have stayed focused on Jesus, he would have walked the whole way. I truly believe that. Yeah. Scriptures don't say it, but if we keep locked in on Jesus and let the fears of the world, not the fears of God, the fears of the world disappear from us, then we'll be in a lot better place, like the brother said. It would have been tough for me being in Joseph's shoes then. The angel would have had to come to me very hard and very fast for it not to become a mess. I ain't going to lie to you there. But if Peter would have not got so focused on the fears of the world, the storms that was going on around him, he would have walked the whole way. You know, and that's kind of the base of the topic. We could go on for a few more Sundays, but staying focused on God and not fearing the world would kind of be our thought, you know. And what happened when he began to fear the wind and the rain and the storms? He began to sink. And once we're in the world, we start focusing on all this other stuff other than God, we'll surely begin to sink as well. It's been a mess, but, you know, I'm thankful, you know, that we've had the opportunity. Had a lot more, but we'll end it there for now. I appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Truly do. Love Hilltop Church. Y'all got a lot more confidence in me than I've got in myself. I'll tell you that. Love y'all.
Love you too, brother.